Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about spirit. Most Christians today ignore the spiritual part of Scripture and shy away from any discussion or conversation that includes the word spirit. This is partially because of uncertainty of what a spirit is or what a spirit does. However, people also shy away from spiritual things because of fear, brought about by others who have misused spiritual concepts and made a circus atmosphere out of it. But there is a danger to ignoring the Holy Spirit concerning the actions of God, for Scripture is very clear in stating that God is a spirit. In addition, we know that God is holy, and therefore God's Spirit would therefore have to be the Holy Spirit. But to have humans ignore the concept of spirit is exactly what Satan would like us to do. Satan is also a spirit in that he was originally a heavenly being. He is not flesh and blood as humans are, and if we allow ourselves to believe that there are no such things as spirits, then Satan is just one step closer to deceiving us. Now, since the time that Jesus ascended into heaven, there have been numerous attempts to destroy the concept of the triune nature of God. And Satan is at the forefront of those attempts because his ultimate intent is to destroy God himself. And because God can only be completely known by knowing him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, therefore, all Satan has to do to destroy God is to destroy one aspect of God. He would only have to destroy one aspect of the Trinity. If Satan can destroy the concept of God as spirit, then God would not be complete, and therefore Satan would be well on his way to destroying God completely. Another way this could happen is by destroying the concept of God the Father, just as omitting Jesus Christ from God's word would ultimately destroy the truth of God, so would omitting the Father or the Holy Spirit bring ultimate destruction to God's Word. There are those who want to leave God the Father out of their doctrine by worshiping with a Jesus-only concept. It's not that those who believe in a Jesus-only concept do not believe in the Father aspect of God, but this doctrine implies that reference to God the Father is no longer necessary. Certainly, Jesus is God, but the understanding of Scripture and its correct application require a continuous descriptive narrative of all three parts of God in order to gain the full revelation as to who and what God really is. And consider this. I would like you to notice one important Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 through 28, tells us plainly that it is God the Father who puts all things under the feet of Jesus. And it also tells us that Jesus will reign until all things are put under his feet. And then Jesus will deliver up the kingdom once again to God the Father in order that God might be all in all. Clearly, Jesus himself does not believe in a Jesus-only doctrine, but humbles himself as a son to the Father, for he will return the authority of the kingdom to God the Father at the last day. Now, the Lord our God is one Lord, but he is three parts in three different aspects, just as you and I are one person with three different aspects. Just look at yourself. Imagine what you would be if you only had a body and spirit, but no soul. Or imagine what you would be if you only had a soul and no spirit or body. The soul is the father part of a man, in that it is the part that is the dominant authority for the other two parts of the person. The soul of a man represents who the man really is. It is the thoughts of a man, his beliefs and convictions. And without the thoughts, beliefs, and convictions of the soul, man's spirit and body could not act or speak, because it is the thoughts, beliefs, and convictions of a man that determines how his spirit and body will respond. His spirit and body must have direction from the mind of man, or there can be no word or action given. Now, listen to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 11. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except by the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God no man knows, but only the Spirit of God." From this scripture, we can see that the Holy Spirit of God plays a definite role in the Godhead. The role that the Holy Spirit plays is to respond to the thoughts, beliefs, and convictions of God and reveal these things unto men. In essence, this is exactly what the Holy Spirit did for Jesus. It revealed the Father's will to the Son. Without the Spirit of God, there would be no way for humans to fully understand the things of God. God is a Spirit, and humans must have God revealed to them by God's Spirit. Humans are flesh and blood, not spirit. Therefore, they must be moved by the Spirit of God in order to understand and obey the things of God. It's quite simple to understand that if you don't know the mind of God, you aren't going to be able to please God. You can't be in obedience to God's will unless you first know what God's will is. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to search out the things of God and reveal them unto men. It is the same thing also for human beings, in that all men have thoughts, beliefs, and convictions. And unless the body is moved by these thoughts, beliefs, and convictions, it cannot speak or act. Bodies are not independent, any more than Jesus was independent from God the Father. They do not act or speak on their own, but only according to the thoughts of the mind. It is the soul of a man, his thoughts, beliefs, and convictions, that are responsible for the body's actions or words. However, even then, the body is only moved to speak and act when it is moved emotionally, when it is inspired. To be inspired means to be moved in spirit. It's the same thing as being moved by your emotions, and it is the thoughts, beliefs, and convictions at the core of a man's soul which generates feeling or liveliness. For instance, if you have no convictions concerning a certain subject, you will not be moved to speak or act concerning it. But if your convictions are strong, then your spirit will be activated. Your spirit will recognize the convictions of your soul, and your body will act or speak accordingly. It is your spirit which moves your body. But your spirit only operates when there are thoughts, beliefs, and convictions with which to operate from. Therefore, if you yourself are convicted strongly of something, your spirit will move you according to those convictions, and your body will act and speak accordingly. So you see how important a spirit is? A spirit is not just an imaginary thing. A spirit is as real as God is real. You have a spirit, just as God has a Holy Spirit. And if you didn't have a spirit, you would be the same thing as being dead. Your body cannot be moved by your thoughts without your spirit. It is the spirit of man, just as the Holy Spirit with God, that searches the deep hidden things and reveals them outwardly through your physical body. It is your spirit that acts as a liaison between your soul and your body. Now, in secular terms, from a purely scientific view, our bodies react in response to our emotions. But put in spiritual terms, that is, biblical terms, our bodies react to the spirit within us, not to our emotions. Emotions is the secular term, and spirit is the biblical term. And whether you are moved by your emotions or are moved by your spirit, either way, it is the same thing. You are moved by that part of you that interprets the thoughts, beliefs, and convictions of your heart and causes your outward part of you, your body, to respond accordingly. So basically, you are a person who is made up of soul, spirit, and body. The soul is equivalent to your mind. It is just basically you, and you are made up basically by all your thoughts, beliefs, and convictions. Once again, if we refer to this in secular scientific terms, we would use the term mind or brain. But actually, it is your thoughts that make up who you are. So who you are is down deep inside of you. You are alive, a living soul, with thoughts, beliefs, and convictions. These thoughts, beliefs, and convictions cause your spirit to rise in you, or in other words, causes you to have emotions. Once the spirit rises in you, or once again, once your emotions rise in you, your body will be seen to act or speak, and the actions or words that your body produces will definitely show other human beings what your thoughts, beliefs, and convictions are. So you see, who you really are, down deep inside, cannot communicate with human beings unless you transfer your thoughts to your body. And in order to transfer your thoughts to your body, you must have a spirit. Your spirit must take your thoughts and move your body to act or speak accordingly. Therefore, you are soul, spirit, and body. Your spirit is the liaison between your soul and your body. Without a spirit, your body could not be moved to act or speak. Now, can you see that spirits are real? Spirits move bodies. That's why evil spirits move people to do wicked things, because the spirit rises up in the person and controls the actions of the body. When Jesus cast out evil spirits from people, he was actually taking away the power of the evil spirit to control the body. When a person is possessed by evil spirits, that person will act and speak according to the desire of that spirit. Now, if you have good thoughts based on truth, you will also do good things. If you have love in your heart, then no evil spirit will be able to move your body to do evil. Now, listen to this. This is important. The only thing a spirit can do is to respond to the thoughts, beliefs, and convictions of the person and move the body accordingly. If an evil spirit finds evil in your heart, it will be able to transfer that evil into your body. But if your heart is established with truth, then the evil spirit will not be able to find evil in your heart and will therefore not be able to move your body to demonstrate wickedness. Spirits are either evil or good. If you have thoughts, beliefs, or convictions which are based on the truth of God for any given situation, then the only spirit which can find a foothold in you at that time will be a good spirit. If you have a good spirit, this just means that the Holy Spirit of God holds sway in you. It means you are moved by the Holy Spirit. However, because we are still locked in these bodies of flesh, and because, as humans, all of our thoughts, beliefs, and convictions are not based on the truth of God's Word, then sometimes evil spirits can find the wrong thoughts in us, and therefore they can take those improper thoughts and move our body to display evil. When Jesus cast out evil spirits, what he was really doing was releasing the person from the bondage brought about by the lies of Satan. When we lose sight of God's perfect truth, then evil spirits can gain a foothold in us. If the lies are minor ones, then the evil spirits can get us to move in an evil manner, but only to a minimal extent. However, if the lies of Satan permeate our minds, if we are thoroughly deceived and have great love for evil things, then the evil spirits can gain a very great foothold in us and cause us to do very evil things. Now, if we are only controlled by evil spirits in just certain things, but not in all things, then we would probably refer to this as being oppressed. Possession by evil spirits is generally referred to as when a person has lost control of his actions and the spirit within him has taken over. But spiritual oppression is when people are bothered to a considerable extent by evil spirits, but not to the extent of controlling their whole lives. All people, including Christians, are oppressed from time to time by evil spirits, but Christians are not possessed in the sense of having no ability to do right. Christians always have a great amount of God's truth, and also have the presence of God in them. Therefore, they are not controlled completely by Satan. But everyone, even Christians, are bothered. There is no person who is perfect. Only Jesus, because he is God, was able to be perfect. Only God is good. Humans, even Christians, are only good in spirit. Their flesh is still subject to sin, only never to the extreme of losing complete control, because God inhabits us as his temple. Our flesh is still partially susceptible to temptation, but the Holy Spirit of God protects us by guiding us into all truth. And, as the Bible says, it is the truth which sets us free. God is a spirit. This means he is an existing being. Jesus Christ was the form of God. God came to earth in the form of human flesh in order to reveal himself to mankind. God's thoughts were found by God's Spirit, and his Spirit moved Jesus Christ to speak and act accordingly. Even Jesus himself said that he did not speak his own words, nor do his own works. And we can understand this because it's the same thing for us. Our bodies could never operate independently from the thoughts, beliefs, and convictions of our soul. Our bodies, just like Jesus, can only act according to the authority of the thoughts, beliefs, and convictions we have. Yet it is quite easily seen that we are only one person. We aren't three people, any more than God is three gods. We are just one person, made up of a soul, a spirit, and a body. The soul has the truth, and the spirit within us finds that truth, and the body demonstrates that truth. However, when we have knowledge which is tainted with lies, then our thoughts, beliefs, and convictions do not line up perfectly with God's word. Therefore, we can be used by Satan. Remember, the Bible tells us that it is the truth which sets us free, and also that Christians are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Therefore, depending on how much truth is in us, or how extensively we are renewed in our minds, we can be moved to goodness or we can be moved to wickedness. When an evil spirit searches our minds, it can move us to words and actions if it finds something it can use. For instance, if you hate someone, even though you are a Christian, then an evil spirit can rise up in you and cause your body to exhibit anger toward that person. You yourself would actually be giving the spirit within you the authority to move your body in an angry manner because of your thoughts, beliefs, and convictions. You would be letting it happen because you allowed those hateful thoughts to dwell in you, even though those thoughts were contrary to the Word of God. However, if you are filled with the knowledge of God and you understand very well the principles of God, and if you store these principles in your heart, then it will be very difficult for any evil spirit to find a foothold in you. Without the lies of Satan, you would only be convicted of the truth of God, and there would be no opportunity in any situation for an evil spirit to rise up and move your body in any way at all.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's Word is freely given. Now once again, here's Randy.
It is the truth which will set you free, but it is the lies of Satan which will put you in bondage. If you have areas in your life that seem to plague you, then it is the truth of God which will deliver you. Jesus said that He is the truth. In John chapter 1, it says that Jesus is the Word of God. Of course, God's Word is truth. And because Jesus is the Word of God, then of course Jesus is the truth. It is the true Word of God, as demonstrated so perfectly by Jesus, that will set you free. Not only will the truth reveal to you that you can have salvation through Jesus Christ, but the truth can also destroy the lies of Satan to the point that you will not respond to situations the way you did before you were a Christian. And according to how much you know of the Word of God, you will be free from the bondage of sin, not only in the fact that you have salvation, but also in the ability to resist temptation. Notice that when Jesus was in the wilderness and was being tempted by the devil, that He defeated Satan by the Word of God. Whenever Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus replied by quoting God's Word. Jesus used the Word of God to dispel the subtle lies of Satan. And it is the same thing for all of us. When we are tempted, we need to have a firm grasp of the truth of God's Word. In any given situation, you will be moved to act or speak according to the extent of your knowledge. If your knowledge is based firmly on the Word of God, then your response to temptation will be to overcome it with the truth. No, I'm not saying that sin will not still exist in your flesh, but I am saying that sin in your flesh will be hindered by the truth of God. We as humans always seem to think we know it all. Sometimes we're so stupid that we think we're smart. But the truth is that no matter how smart you think you are, Satan is smarter. Even God, referring to Satan in Ezekiel 28, said that he is wiser than Daniel, and there is no secret that can be hidden from him. Also, the Bible refers to Satan in the Garden of Eden as the serpent and says that he was more deceptive than all the other animals of the field. This means that Satan is one smart cookie, at least in comparison with humans. But it is God's truth which will free us from Satan's lies. It is God's truth which will set us free. Every evil spirit will try to reside in us, and certainly will reside in us if we let them. But because a spirit can only rise up when it is empowered by our thoughts, beliefs, and convictions, then it is a simple thing to realize that we must guard ourselves from evil spirits by renewing our minds. We must be transformed by the truth of God, for it is truth which will set us free. God's Word is our lifeline. It is God's Word which created all things, and it is God's word which will stand after the old heavens and the old earth have passed away. No evil spirit can rise up in us unless it finds the wrong thoughts, beliefs, and convictions. If we will allow God to transform us by renewing our minds with His Word, then and only then will we be able to stand against Satan's temptations. When we are armed with the Word of God, no evil spirit can find any foothold in us on which to lay claim to us. Our bodies will not be moved by any evil spirit if that spirit cannot find something evil in our thoughts. Therefore, our minds must be protected in order to keep our bodies from demonstrating evil. Spirits certainly do exist, but no evil spirit can rise up in us when it can only find the truth of God. The only spirit that can rise up in us by finding truth is the Holy Spirit of God.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 19, What is Spirit? Messages are available on CD and or written transcript. As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.